Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio. Thank you for listening here. Brand new episode. And this is your host, Danny. And we're going to start this episode with daily conversations. And then we have an interview with CD Projekt Red about Cyberpunk. This was recorded during Gamescom 2019. Shout out to Paris. He was there throughout the whole event. And we have one more interview that we're going to be playing next week on Monday, which is the game is going to be about The Outer Worlds. So stay tuned for that. But before we play daily conversations, head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, listen to our past episodes. We need your support. Share with your friends. Tell everybody about GTR. You can find us anywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora. We're everywhere. Just search for Gamertag Radio and subscribe.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And now we're going to play Daily Conversations. Hey, Paris, what's up, man?
Hey.
You sound very happy. Something's up.
No, I'm good. No, everything's good. I got to take my daughter to school here in about 45 minutes, and I'm going to work.
Oh, good, man. That's dope. Dude, you read the news that, I don't know if you're a fan of the game or not, but there's going to be a remake of Lion King and Aladdin.
I saw something about that, but yeah, I didn't pay too much attention.
Yeah, so it was announced during GameStop. It's like the convention they have over there for the conference for managers and all that. It was just announced there, which is random. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I used to play both of those games, and my favorite one was Aladdin. I know there was two versions, the Super Nintendo version and the Sega Genesis one. So I love the Super Nintendo version because I just like the soundtrack, but the gameplay, Sega Genesis got it. So I'm wondering which version they're going to have. Are they going to have both or what? Because I read they're going to have both soundtracks from the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. So I know I'm excited. That game was pretty cool back in the days. I used to play it back then.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I feel like I played Aladdin, and I think it was the Genesis.
Oh, the Genesis?
I feel like I did. Yeah, I think that's where I played. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I just wanted to say that very quick. So very quick. I know you got to see Cyberpunk again at Gamescom. And we haven't really been talking much about it. So I know it's the same presentation, but was there anything that stood out this time that you were like, man, I forgot about this because you got to see it during E3?
Yeah, that was an interesting thing. So getting to see it a second time, you know, and I had already known, like I talked to Miles and he had told me it's the same exact demo. Nothing's different. He goes, the only thing they changed was it was Dolby Atmos sound in the theater that they had.
Okay.
He was like, so that might stand out to you. Well, other than that, it was the same exact demo from E3. But going into it now, I didn't have the, oh my God, it's Cyberpunk. You know what I mean? So yeah. It was like I was able to just sit and watch it. The big thing I took away from it was just how good the little details were, just the little things that you see. Like when you go in that church where you had to meet one of the voodoo boys and all the Haitians are in there praying, just hearing the music that's going on in there. And there's like all these side conversations that are happening around you. You know, when you go out into Pacifica and you actually just look at the detail of the world out there. Like I said, it's like the little things. Like you can tell they have been working on this game for so long that they're able to get every little thing in there because there's been so much attention to detail. just in the world of Night City of what they've been doing.
Very, very cool. So it was like same one. So it was like, what, 50 minutes?
50 minutes long? Yeah, something like that. 40, 45, 50 minutes, something like that.
That's cool, man. That's cool. You left even more confident than ever, of course, about the game.
Yeah, I mean, dude, and I even say it in the interview at the end, they're going to redefine the open world RPG with this game. That's how confident I am of what they're doing, because just the level design and the choices that you'll be able to make, there's going to be so many different branches of the things that you do. Because one scenario that you run into in that demo is where you have that agent that tells you, hey, the Voodoo Boys are going to betray you, and you basically have to make a choice. Like, you can help me and not do this, or you go with the Voodoo Boys and they're eventually going to betray you. And you have a choice right then and there. In the demo, they go with the Voodoo Boys, who then betray them, betrays V, just as he said. But you obviously work something out and then go to the end of that demo. But what if you listen to the agent and you don't get that information from him and you go off with him? That probably completely changes what you're doing in the game.
Yeah.
You know, from that particular scenario. Again, so it's little things like that. And maybe that choice doesn't manifest itself till 20 hours later in the game, something like that. Because even Richard even mentions that particular scenario happens about halfway through the game, where you see that demo with the Voodoo Boys. So that's kind of an interesting thing too, just to see how many different ways that you can play. Because again, obviously I compared to The Witcher 3, because it's the same company and it had a very similar format. And like I said, I've done 4 complete clears of The Witcher 3. And every time I go in and play that game, I find something new, because I'll make a different choice at a certain point than I made previously, right? And it takes you down a different path. So I think the fact that CD Projekt Red is doing this again and they've learned lessons from The Witcher 3, I expect it to be even more so in Cyberpunk 2077. So if anything, that's what excites me the most. Not to mention, like we previously said, you know, when we saw the demo at E3, they showed you 2 different versions of V, where you had the Netrunner V, who was doing hacking to get to his end, you know, to get to his end game. But then you had the female V, who was more of a melee tank, and you were able to take a shortcut, and you took a completely different scenarios played out in the same level, which ended you in the same result. So is it like there's going to be different play styles, going to be different builds that you can create? I love that there's a classless system. So if you do go down a certain path with creating your V, and you don't like it necessarily, you can do whatever on the fly. You can completely change the way that you play. So I think that's another exciting thing too as well. Now, one thing that I picked up on in the demo that I'm so curious about, when you do beat the leader of the animals, she drops her hammer. Like you depower her, right? So she's no longer strong enough to pick up this hammer that she has. My question is, I was using the melee V, who has super strength. So the melee, you know, so that particular V was able to pick up the hammer. But what if I was playing as the Netrunner V, who didn't have super strength? Could I have picked up that hammer? It's little details like that I'm so curious about, if we're going to see little things like that. Because look, the hammer is obviously an item that you can get and you can use later in the game yourself. But maybe the particular way you're playing V and you don't have the stats to be able to use it, you have to leave it behind. So it's just little stuff like that I want to see how it plays out.
Yeah. And you know what I want, Paris? I want to be in a difficult situation that I need to choose, like in the story. We're having a conversation with a character and I have to choose, and it's going to be very complicated. And I know there's going to be consequences just in case I pick the wrong one. Have you ever been stuck in any game in the past, like, you know, Mass Effect, The Witcher, where you were just stuck, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to answer this during the conversation. Will this completely change my game or what? Because I've been through that with The Witcher before.
Yeah, I would say I've run into those scenarios with The Witcher and Skyrim. You know, even, you know, like you said, taking it back to like Mass Effect 1 or Mass Effect 2, or even Oblivion, you know, during the original, you know, when the 360 first came out, just things like that. So there is definitely precedent that your choices matter. But what I've found in a lot of those games that I just mentioned is it's been a thin layer of, you think you're making this drastic choice, but really doesn't matter what you choose, you're still getting to the same end result. And I think The Witcher 3 started us down a path where you had multiple endings, you had different scenarios, you had critical NPC characters who you thought would be around at the end of the game. If you make a certain choice, they might die halfway through the game, and some information or thing they provided you isn't available to you later on in the game. So, yeah, like I said, I am assuming here that CD Projekt Red is going to build upon that from what they did with The Witcher 3, and we're going to see even more choice and consequence when it comes to stuff like that. Like, take a game like The Outer Worlds that we got to see recently. They're obviously going to go down that path as well.
Yeah,
where they obviously may fall out of New Vegas, so we saw similar choices. So there's going to be choice and consequence in that kind of game as well, which, that's what excites me. That's what I like when I play a game where I'm not just blindly playing through something and just getting to the end. I have to legitimately think about the choice that I'm making at the time and what the potential repercussions of it could be, because it will completely change the way that I'm playing the game.
Yeah, totally agree, man. Now, have you already played Control yet, or not really?
No.
Okay.
I have not played it.
All right. I'll stay quiet until next time, but it's really good. I'm really enjoying this game. Really enjoying it. Actually, I'll mention one thing. That's nothing to do with the story, nothing, but every Remedy game that I play, I'm always reading stuff like the wall, if there's any books, stuff, paper. I'm just always looking around to see if I find anything, any Easter egg, right? So I went to this room and it says, I see like a bunch of names, and it says something like, we honor these agents. I was like, what is this? I'm looking at it, and I got to see Vita's name there from the community manager from Remedy.
Yeah,
and then I noticed, I'm like, oh my God, this is the whole team that worked on the game. That's pretty cool. Like, it's basically saying, oh, we honored them. You know, they worked really hard and all that stuff. Like, as agents in the game, but it was actually the developers of the game. It was pretty cool. I was like, oh man, this is awesome. So I took a screenshot of it and I put it online and I gave her a shout out, like, ah, Vita, I see you. I see you, Vita. But nah, dude, the game is phenomenal, man. I think you would really enjoy this game. The game is really dope.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to jumping in and playing it. I have the PC version and it does RTX. So now that I have a 2080 that does RTX, I'm gonna check that out this weekend.
Awesome, man. Anything else, Paris? Anything else going on? Anything else?
I guess the news just came out that someone basically bought all the rights to Telltale.
Ooh.
So they're gonna resurrect Telltale. So
really?
Those IPs are coming back. So like The Wolf Among Us, Batman, and all that stuff's coming back.
Oh, that's awesome. Good to hear, man.
The only slightly negative thing of it, because it's a new company, it wasn't like the original people bought the company and they're bringing everyone back, so there's going to be new employees, so there's definitely going to be employees that previously worked on these games that aren't going to be compensated for this. I did see something, and again, this just happened, so I don't have all the information, but I did see something like maybe some previous employees can come back and freelance, do things like that. So maybe there can be somewhat of a happy ending out of all this stuff with Telltale.
Yeah.
But that just happened. So at least it's great to see from a gamer standpoint. Like, I love The Wolf Among Us. I absolutely love that first season of it. So I was highly anticipating for season two to come. So I'm happy that we're going to get Bigby and Snow White and all the rest of those guys coming back for that game. So that's one positive that is coming out of this, but we'll see as the news unfolds how it goes.
Yeah, so I'm looking right now, is being revived by a company called LCG Entertainment. That's the name of the company. So that's good, man. This is some couple of games there that to me I love it, and Wolf Among Us is one of them. Season two will be great if they release that. That would be really cool, man. So, and I believe they were working on it before.
Yeah, they were, because they had a whole Comic-Con thing where they were talking about it and everything. So I was super excited for that to come back. Yeah. And then obviously, the news happened where, they went out of business. But so it looks like it's going to get a second life here, and we're gonna start seeing some of the stuff come back.
That's cool. Paris, this morning I woke up and I was thinking, like, wow, so Control came out. There's more games coming out this week. Astro Chain, Blair Witch. I know Gears 5 is coming up in a couple of days too. This is it. This is the beginning of holiday season. This is it right here, Paris. And the year is basically over if you think about it. Man, I was like, God damn, this year just went super fast. Holy crap.
Yeah, it went super fast.
Wow.
Super fast.
Wow, man. Now, is there any game that you're excited that's coming out this holiday season? Because, you know, I think a lot of the big ones that we're expecting that we're like super excited, all of it is basically coming out early next year, man.
I'm going to flip that question and tell you one that I'm not excited about, and I'm surprised that I'm not.
Okay.
And it's Ghost Recon Breakpoint. It's not. And again, maybe I'm just soured on our experience at E3. I don't know, but just when we played, and I even went back and looked at our capture footage. Like, you notice I never put the capture footage out because I watched it. I mean, it's fun. Like, I just remember playing. I wasn't having fun with it. It wasn't. I don't know. I don't know about that game, and maybe I just need more information on it or whatever, but that's one I'm not excited for that's coming out in October. And, you know, I've been a huge Ghost Recon fan over the years. Like, I love Wildlands, but Breakpoint's just not doing it for me. I can't put my finger on it, but to go back and answer your original question, I'm honestly excited to play is going to be Modern Warfare, Call of Duty. I think that 2v2 mode is going to be a highlight, especially, you know, in the esports world. I can definitely see that getting a lot of mileage. I'm very curious to see the reimagining of this campaign that's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some controversy over it. And the fact that, in my opinion, well, no, I don't even think this is my opinion. I kind of think this is a fact. This is the biggest AAA title because, again, Call of Duty usually is the first or second highest selling game every year, right? So this is the biggest game that is incorporating crossplay across all platforms, you know? So yeah. I think it is going to be the leader as we go into the next generation of games showing this is how you do it, right? Uh-huh. Crossplay, doesn't matter what platform you pick it on, doesn't matter where you play, you and I, like, you'll be on Xbox, I would assume. I'll be on PC, and we're going to play together.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
great.
That'll be awesome.
That's freaking great. You're on PlayStation. What doesn't matter? We're going to get to play together. So, you know, leading, that's kind of going to be leading the charges into the next gen to just break these barriers of why are we limiting ourselves to one platform when we want to play online games together? Play wherever you want. Mm-hmm. You know, even to a lesser extent, Gears 5 obviously is going to be doing this because you can play on PC and play on Xbox. Even when I was at Gamescom, that was one of the questions I asked when I had the presentation for Gears 5, just talking about, like, obviously for the co-op mode, controller and keyboard, they'll be able to play together and that'll be fine. But what they're going to do for the multiplayer for Gears 5 is they're going to have console players. If you want to opt in to play against people on PC that are using mouse and keyboard, you can do that. So it's going to be your choice. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be forced to play with people with mouse and keyboard that potentially could have an advantage over you. So, I mean, that's good too, and that's how it should be. Don't limit how we play. So I'm happy to see Xbox leading that charge. I'm happy to see Call of Duty leading that charge. Obviously, Destiny 2 just enabled cross save for all that stuff. Like, I just took my PS4 progress over to PC. It's been great, and they've even talked about doing cross play as we go into 2020. So it's exciting, man. Obviously, Fortnite is doing it. I mean, you know, we've seen Rocket League doing it.
It's
the future. It's how it should be. Yeah. If you want to play the game with your friends, play wherever you want. That's how it should be.
You know, speaking about games that you're not hype about, I'll tell you one that I'm not hype about at all. And I'll be okay if I don't play it, to tell you the truth. It's Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I mean, the game looks beautiful. I know people are very excited about the game. It's just not for me, man. I was more excited with part one and part two. But this one, for some strange reason, I'm just not into it, man. I'm like, it's whatever. You know, so that's one game that I'm not hype about at all, man. So I'm actually, like, I'm very excited for Luigi Mansion. I'm excited for Gears 5. Those are the two games top of the head right now that I'm like truly, truly hyped that's coming out later this year. So, but yeah, do you feel the same too about Borderlands?
Yeah, I'm with you on that with Borderlands. It's not, but again, to be fair, I've never really gotten into that series. I've tried. over the years to like, you know, play with friends like Borderlands 2 and all that.
Yeah.
But it never grabbed me. It never. And again, I know I talk about this game too much, but it never grabbed me like Destiny grabbed me when that came out in 2014. Right.
Yeah.
And I know Borderlands preceded it and all that, but it just never moved the needle for me. So sure, it's great that Borderlands 3 is coming out and, you know, I see the stuff they're doing, but it's not something for me that I feel like I got to run out day one and go get. I'm kind of like, okay, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I'm looking at it.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe we'll change our minds once we play it, maybe, or yeah, it happens. Now, when we say, because I know people are listening right now, our conversation, they're like, oh, damn, they don't like it. Just because we say that we're not hype about it, it's just is not for us. It's something that there's other games I prefer to take my time and play it. You know, like there's people that probably don't like Control. They're like, it's not for me. But I'm truly enjoying it, you know. So that's how it is.
But that's the beauty of gaming. Period. Play what the hell you want. That's one thing that I've never understood, and I never will. Why do you care what someone else enjoys? I will never understand that. If I love Destiny as an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you care that I love it so much? Shouldn't matter. Just like if you love Borderlands 3, I don't care.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Knock yourself out. Enjoy it. And that's what people need to wrap their heads around when it comes to all this gaming stuff. We're not the diversity of the industry is the beauty of the industry. There's so many different genres and so many different games and play styles out there that people are going. Some are going to enjoy. Some are not. Pick your lane. Pick what you want to do. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. So I think people waste way too much time, especially on social media, worrying about what someone else is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, that's a lesson my mom taught me freaking 30 years ago. Stop worrying about what other people do. Worry about yourself.
you know,
it comes out to.
You know, that was a tweet from Twitter Gaming that posted, which game launch had you the most hyped ever? And I thought about it. And I was going to answer Halo 2. But then I'm like, you know what? No, I think Halo 3. Because I was already hyped for Halo 2. Right, I knew it was going to be a game changer because it was the first time Halo Online, everything. But then when I heard Halo 3, and remember, Call of Duty Modern Warfare was coming out like after that. Because Halo 3 came out in September, Call of Duty came out November, I believe, of that year. I attended the launch, midnight launch with Pete at one of the stores here in Miami because they had different events in Miami, New York, Seattle, L.A., and it was phenomenal, man. It was amazing. Everybody was screaming Halo. It was exciting. There was people from Bungie there too. It was really, really cool. So yeah, my choice that I posted there was Halo 3, man. Halo 3 got me super hyped. So when I answered that, a couple of people hit me up. They're like, wait a minute, not Cyberpunk? I'm like, no. I'm talking about games from the past, not current games that's coming out, past. So did you answer that?
Yeah, I did. It's funny that you mentioned Halo 2 because that was my first thought. But then I thought about it more and I was like, this wasn't Halo 2. Honestly, for me, it was Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Nothing will ever top my hype level for that game because that was kind of as the internet was starting to mature and we had message boards and you're able to surf and go to various websites and channels and things.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember being obsessed with, like, there was a Nintendo site that I would go to and there was a forum. There was all these people in there. And that's all we talked about all day, every day was Zelda. Anytime a piece of news came out, it was posted there.
Mm-hmm.
We would dissect it, just chat about it. I just remember my excitement level was so much for that. And it's the GameStop. It was probably EB Games or something back then. That's at the North County Fair Mall here in Escondido, California. I remember I was working at Sony at the time. And I took my lunch break and I went up to the mall because it was inside and I stood in line with everyone waiting to get it. And I remember I got it and I was so excited. I remember I went home. I took the game home. I was so excited. Like I wouldn't play it as soon as I got home from work. I had to wait until it was nighttime at a certain time and I closed all the curtains and everything. And I just turned it on in darkness. And it just started playing and it just lived up to all my expectations. To me, nothing will ever top that. That'll always be my number one anticipated game. Like you said, Halo 2 was obviously exciting. Even Halo 3, obviously, like, you know, was super excited for Witcher to come out, Destiny to come out. I mean, Cyberpunk now. I mean, there's been You know, like Mass Effect 2 was another one I highly anticipated. I remember the original Mass Effect, just like during E3 at that time, when I got to see that presentation, just how excited I was. I thought it was just some next level stuff they were doing with the cinematics and all that stuff. So, I mean, there's been a ton of amazing games I've anticipated, but for me, nothing will ever top Ocarina of Time, man. That was just amazing. Absolutely amazing from what they took Zelda from what it was to then take it into the N64 era 3D, kind of that quasi open world. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You know, it just reminded me that I was working at a retail store at a mall here in Miami. And during my lunch, I went to multiple stores to find that game because I wanted to buy it. It was sold out. And I went to the last one. And that was a very long walk from my job, my old job. So I ended up walking to Best Buy, and they only had a couple copies left of Ocarina of Time. And man, when I purchased it and I got home, same thing, Paris. Went to a room. It was dark. It was at night.
Yeah.
I went deep in the game, man. And then, yeah, I got stuck in the water level. And yeah, that was a pain in the butt. I was there for like a good month trying to figure that out. The water level. Holy crap. Amazing. So,
yeah,
I know you mentioned Mass Effect 2, but man, dude, let's talk about BioShock at that time too, when the demo
I'm so glad you said that. How could I forget that? Literally the greatest game demo ever made.
Ever. I put it up there with PT, of course, is up there. But man, BioShock, the first BioShock, the demo, I remember to this day, Paris. I was listening to Major Nelson's podcast because they were talking about the demo, and then they said in it was with what's his name, the developer that worked on the game,
Ken Levine.
He was on the podcast, and they were talking about the demo, and then they said the demo is available right now. I was like, what? I went, saw it on my Xbox Live, downloaded it. Oh my god, that got me hype. I forgot about that. That really got me hype for that game. Holy crap! Yeah, and I think one of your favorite interviews was
One of the best interviews I ever did was Ken Levine on Uncle Gamer, and like I said, at the Santa Monica E3 07 at whatever hotel that was, he was doing the demo, doing the walkthrough, and then he handed me the controller. I'll never forget that. I will never forget that. It was just the coolest thing. And then, like you said, just that whole podcast, Major Nelson thing, and then they put that out. And I just remember playing that demo. I probably played that thing 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Because it was that good. Yeah. So yeah, the original BioShock definitely is probably my top five most anticipated ever. And then, funny enough, BioShock Infinite is very high up there for me. Look, we're not having this conversation right now if it wasn't for that game.
That's true.
What brought me out of podcast retirement.
That is true. And I listened to, you know, a year ago, I listened to that episode. And I think I sent it to you too, like, Paris, here, check it out. It was, the quality wasn't even, I know it bothered me so much, the quality of the podcast. But
yeah,
we had a great conversation about the game. It was cool. It was cool. I like listening to the old episodes sometimes, you know? Yeah, I'm thinking, didn't Destiny, the first Destiny demo, the beta, did that get you hype at all for the game?
The Destiny, what, the beta?
The original beta.
Here's what it was. Yes, but I thought it was such a tiny sliver of what the game was going to be, so my imagination just went wild on the endless possibilities of what Destiny was going to be. And then when the final game came out, we found out, it was like, well, wait. I played like half the damn game.
Yeah.
In the freaking demo. So that was a disappointment. And obviously, they involved a glass, and the rest is history, with that game. But yeah, that was up there too, for sure.
Yeah, I remember all of us getting together. Okay, let's go to the Luke Cave. we would just shoot the whole time. Remember that, Paris? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Those are the days, man. Oh man. Those are the days. Anything else before we play the interview, man?
I think that's it. I'm still recuperating from Gamescom. That was just such an amazing week. And it was so funny. I was listening to Podcast Unlocked Ryan McCaffrey, Destin Laguerre, those guys are on there. So Destin just came back from Gamescom as well. And it was funny hearing him recap Gamescom and knowing now that I've been there and hearing him talk about locations and halls and all that. I was like, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. I know where that is.
Yeah.
You know, so it's cool in that way. I mean, again, that's the dream would be for all of us to be able to go. Because, I'm telling you, it's intimidating, but it's cool as hell at the same time to go to something that, I mean, again, it's the biggest convention in the world, right? And to see just the sea of humans that come through there when the public is, it's like you have to see it for yourself. I cannot describe it properly. You have to see it for yourself that many people are in one spot at one time, but it works. That's the crazy thing about it. It works. Cologne, the city, is dope. You would love it to be able to hang out there. I'm just so thankful and grateful that I got this opportunity, and I hope I get to go again.
Yeah, I can't wait. Hopefully one day we'll make it happen, though, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Paris, for sure. I think you should introduce the interview that you have for today's episode. And stay tuned, guys, because next week, Monday, we're going to release another interview about the Outer Worlds. So stay tuned for that. But Paris, can you introduce this interview that's coming out?
Yes. So at Gamescom, I had the chance to hang out with the guys over at CD Projekt Red, and I was able to sit down with Richard, and I'm going to butcher his last name, so apologies, Richard, but his name is Richard Borzamowski. I think I'm saying it right. But he is a producer over at CD Projekt Red and obviously working on Cyberpunk 2077. And we sat down for about 15 minutes, you know, talked about the game. Mm-hmm. I didn't try and go like crazy in depth, because here's the thing. And I'm going to set this up this way, because I've had some pushback in the past. Like, I think the Aaron Greenberg interview, I had people on Twitter pushing back going, you didn't ask the hard questions about Scarlet or things like that. And here's the thing. You don't ask questions you know you're not going to get an answer to, right? So again, with Aaron, he's not going to talk about Scarlet. It's a year away. They're going to talk about that in 2020. That's when you ask those questions. Same with Cyberpunk. They're not going to talk about anything that's not in this demo, especially at Gamescom. They're going to stick to the script of talking about what's in the demo and what they've already shown. Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, this interview is about 15 minutes. It's a great interview. We had a lot of fun. He's a great guy, you know, very lighthearted. But the point I'm making, a heads up to anyone listening to this, I didn't try and get some super secrets that they're not going to talk about. And even when you do hear this, he kind of skirted around some of my questions anyway. So, but it's a great thing. It talks about the demo. It talks about, again, some of the level design. It talks about Pacifica, the gangs, the factions that you'll meet, you know, in this demo. We talk about Mike Pondsmith a little bit as well, but it's really good. Hope you guys enjoyed. You obviously know my excitement level for this game. Hopefully down the road, I'll be able to talk with some more people at CD Projekt Red, and we'll get a little more in depth at that time. But this is a good one. Thank Richard for his time. Thank you, CD Projekt Red, for being gracious hosts while I was at Gamescom. And here's the interview. So go ahead and check it out. And thanks everyone for listening.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, this is Paris. I'm at Gamescom, and yes, I am at the CD Projekt Red private meeting booth room, whatever you want to call this. And
super secret, super tiny, very special interview booth. Yeah.
And I got a chance to see the demo a second time. So you guys already know the video went viral the last time I saw it. Everyone went crazy. But I had to come all the way to Germany because I have to talk about this game. I got to know more about it. So I got someone from CD Projekt Red to talk about it. So can you please introduce yourself?
I'm Richard. Hi, guys. I'm Richard Borzamowski, one of the producers at Cyberpunk 2077.
All right. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me about this. Now, honestly, I don't even know where to begin because, you know, I've seen the demo.
We didn't need her when we started.
Yeah. But it's one of those things. There's just so many different things that you can talk about with Cyberpunk. But I kind of think it's fitting to start with Night City itself. The fact that you're creating Night City and you're making this open world, you know, for this game. So kind of go into the thought process of the open world of Night City and just some of the things that people can expect in that world.
Yeah, right, sure. So, well, at the very beginning, there was nothing.
Right.
Then it turned out that Mike Pondsmith already had a core with a grid back in the 80s. So we had like a good idea what we want to achieve with Night City. And besides that, we had Mike consulting us. So we always had like this backup plan. If we got stuck or something, we could reach out to him and like, hey, Mike, do you think that this is a good direction? Pa, 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 pa. And the thing he told us about Night City and its districts when he was envisioning it in 2020 was that although it's one city, it's Night City, that each district, he basically referred to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Like, and he mentioned like if you're walking around Disneyland, you have all those different areas that are all in Disneyland, but they are all looking very differently. So when we were coming up with the districts, we already knew that we want to make them very unique, very distinguished architecture, decorations. And when it comes to the open world part you were asking about, it fits our game that... And what we did is that we introduced characters, obviously, to the districts to make it feel alive. Those characters, those NPCs, are very different from district to district. They are dressed differently. They're speaking different languages. They have another routine. And our goal really was to make you feel the district itself when you are in it. And have you seen the demo last year? I mean, you've seen the gameplay, which we released after.
Yes, so, I've seen last year as well.
So, for instance, last year... The mission we played back then was being played in the North Industrial District. It is a sub district of Watson. Actually, the most northern sub district in the city. And the demo that you saw right now is taking place in Pacifica. So, the opposite south district. And you could clearly see the difference. Like one.
Oh no! Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Completely. So Pacifica being this big war zone, essentially, like abandoned by corporations some years before we started the game, and the gangs took over, violence spread out, and I wanted to say you shouldn't go there by night, but you shouldn't go there by day probably.
Right,
either.
Yeah, shouldn't go at all.
Yeah,
but it's inhabited by the voodoo boys, right?
Well, not only, right?
Right.
They just have their home base over there. The Haitian people, they came over sometime after the corporates left their investments unfinished. And the voodoo boys are very interesting. I like them very much because... they are somewhat taking care of the community over there. They are not just exploiting as one, as another gang. I mean, they are a gang, but they are taking care of their own, essentially.
Yeah, so like even just expanding upon that a little bit, one part of the demo is when you walk in, you're walking into that church because you're looking for the person, and one of the voodoo boy members is in there. And like you said, it wasn't a thing like it was this war zone. It was like this church, and they're almost in a way protecting the other Haitian people that were there. So... the other thing I want to get into is the lack of a class system in Cyberpunk, because that was one of the great
class system.
Yeah, that was one of the great things that they were showing in the demo, that you play how you want. You know, you on the fly can change your attributes and do whatever you want to do. So if you want to kind of expand on that a little bit.
So this was one of the basically key design principles we wanted for the game to incorporate, like to give the player freedom, not only in like the dialogues. We had this in The Witcher already, but in The Witcher, you had Geralt. Geralt had two swords. Well, he could have an axe. My girlfriend is playing with an axe, which is really weird. But here you can create your own character from, you know, his looks to his clothing style, but also from the gameplay side, you can shape how you want to play the game. And those playstyles we are very often mentioning, like the solo, which is actually split into fast solo and strong solo, the techie and the netrunner, it's not something you pick at one point in the game. We're just calling it that way in order to simplify, to show the people what you're able to. You are able to freely mix those things up. The only thing that is holding you back are your attributes. You need according attributes to use certain skills.
Yep.
Probably your cyberware slots. You can't be like a full-on Terminator and a full-on Netrunner, because in order to be either one of those, you need to use your cyber world slots very wisely, and you only have 2 lakhs.
Yeah.
There is no augmentation in the game that allows you to have 4 lakhs, sadly.
So, going along those lines, because one of the, and this kind of just goes into your roots with The Witcher 3 and just being the hundreds of hours I've played in that game, it's the level design that the approach that they show in the demo, that you can basically approach it any way that you want. There's no one set way to get to the end of your mission. So, like, we saw the Netrunner V, and then we also saw the melee tank version of V, and you saw two completely different ways they were approaching that. So, I guess my question on that is, we saw two different approaches there, but it's, I don't want to say limitless, but the options, there's just so many different options of the way that you can tackle the levels in Cyberpunk.
Yes, and that's actually just challenging, because there is a lot of work required to first come up with a quest that is like an integral part of the plot that provides you the opportunity to tackle those missions in certain ways. Then those missions should have like outcomes that are different depending on how you approach them. And then after the quest is written, then you actually have to implement it in the game. So the first thing you actually need to do is to come up with a, we call it level design prototype, which suits every, suits every role that makes it possible to for you to enter in different ways. But secondly, and this is actually more important, we want to make sure that each way you play is fun. It wouldn't be a solution for us to, you know, incorporate some devices for the Netrunner that he could hack, like, just, you know, without thinking how those devices are tying in into the location itself. We really want to ensure that whichever path you take, however you build your character, that you can play this character through all the missions and that you have fun while there is a third part to it, while still keeping it challenging. And by challenging, I mean something that is not frustrating, but something that is not too simple, right?
So, along those lines, and again, I always keep going back to The Witcher 3 because it's just a game I've played so much.
It's a pretty good game.
Maybe. But part of that game was your choices mattering and the repercussions not being apparent right away. Like, it could be 10, 20 hours later in the game that you find out this choice that you made matters.
You might regret not helping this granny out.
Exactly. So I'm assuming that you're going to expand upon this in Cyberpunk, but to add to that, like just example of some of the NPCs that we saw in this demo, are we going to see those choices again come and matter, but are we going to see NPCs that are exempt from this because they're so integral to the story that they can't be taken out at certain points to where,
especially in those choices that are being presented to the player in the main story path, those choices should be inspected by the players the most, because those might have the biggest repercussions later on. So, Placita is a very the relationship with Placita that V forms is pretty complex because Placita is a complex character in the mission and in the Voodoo Boy structure. He is struggling as well on one end and wants to live up to the hopes of his people. And we as V, we eventually will have to face like how we want to play this out, like. And here comes the question, will the player think how Placide feels and why does he behave this way? Might this change the decision of the player? Or will he just, you know, go with the flow and do whatever he finds suited for himself in the given second?
Right.
Without looking at the background picture. So, absolutely. We want to expand on the choices, on the, standard of choices that we provided to the player in The Witcher, in Cyberpunk. Because we want to, you know, let me put it in a way, we want to give players meaningful choices.
Yeah.
We don't want to do, you know, choices that in 5 minutes later on come back together. Like, if you are playing a game and then you choose another option and then later see, oh, actually, this actually wasn't really a choice because in the end something else happened and I still had to go with this certain character. By giving people meaningful choices, you get them more immersed in the story because they pay closer attention, because they actually feel like in the real world. If you are making a choice what to do, you know that this is your choice. This will have repercussions. right?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
You are thinking about certain actions you are taking.
And that's what excites me about the game is I'm envisioning, you know, when we get to April, like you said, we're going to have this big open world of Night City. We're going to be able to, you know, play it the way that we want to play it. We're going to be able to explore. There's going to be side quests and things. But even with the core story itself, that, like you said, these choices that you make, you know, they will be impactful in the way that you branch off. Because even just in this demo, we ran into the situation where the agent or whatever,
yeah,
he's basically telling you, yeah, you know, the voodoo boys are going to betray you.
Yeah.
Listen to me and don't do this. But we decided to, no, we're not going to listen to you. We went with the voodoo boys. I would assume if I then went with what he said, that completely opens up a new branch.
I will leave this open for you to check out April 16th.
Yeah.
Although we will have to play a bit to make it there till April 16th.
Yeah.
It's somewhat in the middle of the story, so you might not make it in one day.
Right. But one last thing, Johnny Silverhand. So obviously at the E3 reveal, we find out it's Keanu Reeves, everyone breathtaking, you know, all that stuff happens. But how integral is he to the story? And just to people listening, just kind of explain what Johnny Silverhand is to V in the game.
First and foremost, Johnny Silverhand is very important in the universe itself.
Yeah.
So even regardless of the story, he's a very prominent figure.
Yeah.
It so turns out that in the story, V crosses paths with Johnny, let's put it in that way, and he is a very important part to it, actually. So he has a big impact of how the story progresses, and his relationship with V is forming through a big part of the journey, which just outcome will have consequences again, right?
Yeah. So actually, I lied. I have one last thing. So just Mike Pondsmith. Obviously, this is his world. This is his creation. So to just people that are listening, you worked very closely with him. So like these characters,
still
the
are,
Voodoo
absolutely.
Boys, these are his creation. Every
absolutely.
Character, faction,
absolutely.
Gang that we're seeing, this is coming
absolutely.
from his mind and his
like,
world.
He tells us, and he seems very happy like with what we together achieved. Like I personally remember one thing that he once said, when we showed him like the first, like it actually was a draft of Night City back then. Actually, no, it was like a first area that got a bit more polished, so there were some colors around. And we were in the meeting room, and Mike said after like we stopped presenting, like, this is how I envisioned Night City all those years. And this was like for us like this, whoa, this is huge, right? That we got there together. So we are very happy with the cooperation with Mike. He actually is going to be here tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to be here tomorrow.
Oh, maybe I can meet him.
So please more.
So that is awesome. And just to wrap this up, again, I knew of Cyberpunk a year ago. But when I saw that demo last year, it just opened my eyes to this world. And I'm like, I'm still ignorant to it because I still don't know everything about it. But it's just this
game.
That's
all right. We'll ease you in.
Yeah. You'll ease me in. But it just it has me so excited to learn more about this world and not just, I'm just playing a video game. I feel like you're taking us on this journey and into this world of Night City and these characters that, you know, once I get a chance to play it in April, I mean, I just think you're going to revolutionize what we're seeing with open world RPGs.
I'm very glad. Like, this is what we want to achieve. Like, we want to tell a great story. Like, the Cyberpunk universe, I personally knew it for a bit longer than a year, even before I joined CD Projekt. And it's a very interesting universe. It provides so much opportunities to tell stories, like, for the players, even like also in the game, in the video game, or the pen and paper RPG. It's really another take on the genre.
Fantastic. Well, again,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Breathtaking.
Your birthday.
It's too often, right?
I know. Everyone says it now. That's too much. But again, thank you so much for taking some time to talk
thank
to me.
Thank you for finding time for us.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. We're going to wrap it up here. And make sure to subscribe, post your comments, send us feedback through social media, or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Stay tuned. We have more content coming up. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.